Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Are you bearing up with the heat?
I am. I'm hanging in there.
It's been a long stretch, but we're just about at the breaking point.
You know, I don't mind the heat. I like it. I'd rather this than the cold. So
well,
I'm
just
with
you
take
on
it.
That. Well, I can stand the snow, but when it gets to 20 below, then we'll think about today.
Well, it's when it's 20 below in April still that I have the issues.
Exactly. Well, we've had that too.
Right. Well, in answering the call today, we'll find out how Men on a Mission invites local men to bring Christ into the workplace and make faith the cornerstone of their lives.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about the unique role men play in the new evangelization.
And we check in with the vocations director for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis.
But we'll open up with Bob Ziskowski from the Catholic Spirit. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
Well, you've got a busy time going on right now. The paper just came out yesterday, and it is full
packed
of great stuff.
Almost too much to talk about.
Well, we'll
talk
try.
Fast. What's first?
Well, it's World Youth Day.
That's right.
It's next Tuesday. That's the cover story for the Catholic Spirit at this issue. And teens from Minnesota are among those. There's approximately 300,000 young people who are on their way to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, to join Pope Francis at World Youth Day, and that starts on Tuesday.
That's going to be a big deal. I mean, especially obviously with him being from the area and his first time traveling back there, correct?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
and
huge.
The folks in Latin America are just thrilled that that the new pope is one of their own and coming back home, so to speak.
That worked out well.
Yeah.
And the young people kind of rough it on this, don't they?
Well, they do. It's sort of like camping sometimes. I know that Pat Norby from our staff a few years back slept on a gym floor, which she really didn't enjoy, but it doesn't. Those kinds of things don't seem to bother the kids.
No,
but
they're having too much fun.
Yeah, one of the things that readers will find in the Catholic Spirit stories about World Youth Day is that these are not vacations for the young people. They're not junkets. They are being taught and have been taught that they are pilgrimage, a spiritual journey. And I think that might be a part of the whole World Youth Day experience that people need to know about.
Right. And they're there for how long?
It's a 6-day experience. And
yeah.
I believe it ends on the following Sunday. So.
Okay.
Well, you have other things in the Catholic Spirit, too, though, with so much on World Youth Day, you had to kind of cram the rest in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that happens for us every issue. immigration is one of the hot-button issues this summer, something
Indeed.
That's been percolating really since the November elections. And Archbishop Neinstad writes about immigration reform in his column this week, and Pope Francis is a story that Pope Francis talks about how Christians, Catholics, ought to treat migrant people. And I was especially impressed with a phrase that Archbishop Neinstad used in his column. He talked about how Christians must respect the foreigner out of charity and respect, and the legislation that is being proposed will help repair what's really a broken system.
Very true.
Yeah. But he says, and you know, and I'm quoting the Archbishop here, we recognize that finding solutions to the plight of immigrants today will sometimes necessitate the overcoming of boundaries in the heart, not just on the land. And I thought that was just an amazing phrase, boundaries of the heart.
Right.
Well, and the thing that we have to keep in mind, too, is that we are all pilgrims and, in a sense, foreigners.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this country is based on that. So that's very cool and a great way to say it.
Yeah. You know, also the Archdiocese is working on continuing to work on protecting youth, and there's a story in the Catholic Spirit this issue about how the Archdiocese has been dealing through the years with this issue and what they're doing now to protect young people.
It has to be an ongoing thing.
Absolutely, and our Archdiocese has been a leader in this area among Catholic dioceses for at least 20 years.
It's something that a lot of people need to know more about, because I think today a Catholic church is probably one of the safest places you can find for children with all of the safeguards that have been put into effect.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
We also have Leading with Faith Awards Luncheon that's coming up here, and reservations are being taken for that.
Just around the corner.
We honor a handful of folks from our archdiocese who share their faith both in the community and at their parish. So it's and in the workplace. So it's one of those terrific kind of events that Archbishop Nine says is one of his favorite events of the year. So reservations are available, and you can check the Catholic Spirit for how to get
how
your
to register.
Ticket.
Okay.
It's such a beautiful opportunity to recognize the people who live their faith in the workplace. I always love the Leading with Faith Awards.
They impress me all the time. I always think that I'm not doing enough.
Yeah. Well, let's jump to the Rediscover spread and see what's in there.
Yeah, well, this issue, the topic is the Mass, and there are a number of articles that will help people understand a little bit about the Mass. Father Michael Van Sloan kind of gives folks a primer about what the Mass is all about, and then Matthew Kelly invites us to prepare for the Mass just as we prepare for a football game.
I loved that. That's so important, to get your head ready and to start thinking about what you're going to be hearing and taking in on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take a long time, 15 minutes.
He's got a very simple process, too, and it's worth reading to help you and those from your household as well. But, you know, the really interesting story, I think, in this issue is the center spread story about Kate Weber-Tools, and who is a mom who takes all of her five children to daily Mass.
Oh, God, that's just amazing.
That takes some courage.
It does.
Oh, my goodness.
Brave lady. And some dedication on the children's part as well. Cooperation.
And the children seem as though they are they're right on board with their mom about valuing attending the Eucharist.
That's amazing. Inspiring, for sure.
Well, set up this audio cut that we have for you here.
The one of our reporters sat down with Kate and a couple of her daughters and helped us understand why they do this and how they feel about it.
So, well, let's listen then.
People saying, "I have hope for the church." It's mostly old people coming up to the children and I and saying, "I now have hope for the church because I'm seeing that there are young children coming to Mass. Your children are so well behaved. They seem to actually want to be here." I hear that a lot. They actually seem to want to be here. Yeah, they do want to be here. We see the joy, people say, we see the joy that you bring. And that's Christ. That's not me. People say to me, "What a good job you're doing." And I'm not being, anybody who knows me knows I'm the first one to say, "That was me. Yep, that was me. It's all about me. I did that." Yeah. But that's not me. It's Our Lady. It is me. It is me saying, "Take it," which is actually hard for me. So it is me saying over and over and over again, "Take it. Oh, it's in my hands again. Oop, take it." You know, but it is our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And it is Mary, our good mother, who takes these kids and forms them. I mean, you know, parents will say, "I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that." You're right, you can't, and neither can I. And that's why I take my children to Mass.
It's hard to go to Mass. I feel like what's hard is when it really pays. I feel like I wouldn't really be heroic of me to go to Mass if I felt good all the time. There are some times when I go to Mass and I just feel awful. I'm tired or I'm sick or I wanted to sleep in that extra half hour. Yeah. But I can offer that up with the host and just say, God, just take all my distractions and take all my human limitations and all my frustrations and being tired and just wanting to leave. Mm-hmm. Just take all that, because I mean, I'm doing it because I love you and I know you want me to be here.
Yeah, I think it's the key to why we're all so close to each other. Also, homeschooling, we're with each other every day, but through the Mass, we're really united. And I think that's one of the big reasons why we're all so close to each other.
Well, she really, it just kind of turns it over to the Lord, doesn't she, Bob?
She does a wonderful job. I wish I was as pious as and dedicated as Kate or whoever Scholes is.
Well, you have one more story that you want to tell us about.
Well, it's actually about someone who you will be talking about later on Relevant Radio today, and Father John Paul Erickson.
We love Father him. John Paul.
He's so fun to speak with.
He really is, and he's fun to listen to if you've ever had the opportunity to hear him as a speaker. But our story is about his family, really. Both him and two of his sisters are actually sisters. One is a little sister of the poor, and another is a missionary of charity. And they talk about their vocations. One of the interesting things I found was that they weren't afraid to say how afraid they were when they were discerning their vocation. And I'm not sure we ever hear too much of that.
That's true, and I think that's a real challenge to everybody to face up to that fear.
Yeah,
and I'm sure most people discerning that have that fear. I mean, it's a big choice.
And it's just very reflective, I think, of Father John Paul and his approach to the reality of making that kind of commitment to the Lord.
I have a huge admiration for Father John Paul Erickson, so I'm going to have to check out that story. The Catholic Spirit is sitting right next to my easy chair in my living room, so I'll take a look at it tonight.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Corey.
And a reminder that we regularly hear from the Catholic Spirit on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up in Answering the Call, we'll find out how one local organization is bringing Christ to the workplace.
Plus, there are many signs of hope in those discerning a call to ordained or religious life. We'll talk with the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese straight ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
He did the dishes, rubbed my feet, surprised me with tulips, took me to musicals, even though he didn't like them, carried my bags while I did the shopping, held my hand. He died of cancer 4 years ago. And because he loved me, I can stay in our home. I can be here for our children. I can afford to pay for their college education. I can worry about the other things in life besides money. He still loves me and still shows it.
Life insurance is about love. Show your love this month. Catholic United Financial. Life insurance, retirement products, IRAs.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial. On the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the Scott County area, contact Rick Mathewitz.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan, and I was perusing the news, and of course, World Youth Day is all over the place, and the Pope is heading to Rio de Janeiro. And in full Pope Francis fashion, he's doing things kind of his own way, which is to say he's doing it in the way everyone else is doing it, with no special treatment at all.
That's the beautiful thing about Pope Francis. I love the story about how he paid his bill after he was elected Pope.
Right, and everyone's talking about it. You know, he's not taking the Pope mobile. He's just kind of doing it in a modest way.
And he's staying in kind of a residence hall along with the other priests.
Right. Of course, he is guarded by
one of the clergy there.
600 military personnel and 80 people from Brazil's federal police. That makes him a little bit out of the norm.
Conspicuous.
Not the average Joe, but you know, he's doing his best to keep it real and be modest and be like everybody else, and I love that.
He is our Holy Father, and we love him. Well, the Archdiocese is blessed with a large number of men in formation for their priesthood. And there's also a strong program for formation to the permanent diaconate, and local women are discerning their call to consecrated life in various religious communities.
Right. This interest in vocations to the priesthood, the permanent diaconate, and consecrated religious life are signs of hope in this local church. And joining us now is Father Troy Prisabilla. Did I say that? I hope I said that right. And he is Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And thank you for taking time to talk with us today, Father.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to be here.
Did we do okay with the name?
Did I get the name right?
You did.
Prisabilla.
Very good.
Got it.
Congratulations.
Well, you call yourself the Assistant Vocations Director. Explain that to us.
Well, when I became the Vocations Director, the Lord taught me very, very soon that he's the Vocations Director. And that I should just follow behind him. And so, through different events that are different ways, he's taught me that. So, yeah, he's the Vocations Director, and I'm just...
You're his assistant.
I'm his assistant.
Working for him. And exactly. And how did you know that priesthood is your vocation? Can you tell us your story a little bit?
Well, when the bishop laid his hands on me at my ordination, that's when I knew.
That was it.
Discernment right up until that time?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is. I think for a lot of guys that are in the seminary, including myself, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the very moment you hear the call, what we call the call, and you know, and it's just kind of, it's a process of accepting it, hearing it, accepting it. And even through seminary, it's discernment. And, you know, hopefully the guys, as they are in the seminary, it's a process of growing more and more, gaining a clearer understanding that this is, you know, my call, this is my vocation. And so hopefully before ordination, it's, you know, it's, you have that clear sense. But I tell guys, I say, you know, it's a process, and you don't ever have this 100% clarity that this is my vocation. But, you know, as time goes on, it'll become clearer to you.
One of the things I've heard many times is that there is not a shortage of vocations. We have only experienced a shortage of people responding to their call. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I would say, yeah, that's very true. I think a lot of people, you know, just in our culture, and it's always the case, I think, but especially in our culture where there's just so much noise and people are not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key, is just to listen, to put yourself in a place where God can speak to you. And I say, you know, the best place to put yourself is in adoration, you know, just praying before our Lord,
prayer.
Blessed Sacrament. And you know, it's God who calls, so... you know, that it makes sense to be in his presence so that you can hear him calling. But I think that's the thing, is people haven't really got, or they've kind of, they're not putting themselves, or they have too much noise going on in their lives, and they're not hearing it. And at the same time, there's fear, you know, there's
of
fear
course.
Of that God may call me to this, mm-hmm. and I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So, right.
And so therefore, I'm just going to plug my ears.
Ignoring
and,
it.
Yeah, ignore it.
Mm-hmm. That would be the easier route. But
yeah, exactly.
So what do you say to those who are hearing this call or may think they might be hearing this call and contact your office because they're interested in ordained or consecrated life? Like, how do you answer those questions?
Yeah, you know, and I've already said it once, you know, just to pray.
Right.
I mean, the key is prayer and listening to God. But also, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I tell people, you know, that you can't drive a parked car. And so, I mean, it's, you've got to, you know, and God can't lead you to your, steer you to your vocation if you're not doing anything about it. So pray and then do something, you know. I think there's a lot of events in the Archdiocese. There's, you know, come and see weekends at the seminary. There, you know, in religious orders have
mm-hmm.
Have opportunities for you to come and to be with them. And so, I mean, a lot of times people, there's different stages of discernment, and sometimes, you know, women or men, or they're doing a lot of discernment online.
Right, to gather information.
To gather information, but eventually you've got to get away from that computer screen and actually
mm-hmm.
go encounter people.
And feel it.
And to experience it. And, you know, women will tell me that there's this kind of that's it feeling, you know, when they go into a particular religious order, that by living with them,
mm-hmm.
They experience it. And guys who go to our Vianney visits at St. John Vianney, or come and visit the seminary, they just have this great sense of peace, you know,
yeah.
of being here. And it's like, wow, you know, this, I could see myself. These guys aren't different from me, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like me. And so it's that sense of just kind of just going and doing something. And I think that's what I encourage people who are contacting me to do.
Our society has become very secularized in recent decades, I would say. There's got to be a certain fear, a certain challenge to becoming a priest or a consecrated religious in a society like we live in today.
Yeah, there is. I think it's because it's so countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was discerning my vocation, you know, my friends would say, that means you can't get married, right?
Yeah, you give up what is the norm and what everyone else is
exactly.
striving to be
exactly.
For a different route.
Yeah, and I just, but I think, you know, it is a beautiful sign of contradiction in our world that that there are men and women who are willing to live this life and who are coming to me. And so I think, yeah, there's that fear, there's that initial fear, but it's to always bring that fear to the Lord, you know, and to help Him to kind of, you know, heal you of that fear and to give us the courage that we need to respond to His call and to live in this world where there is just a lot of misunderstanding or
mm-hmm.
people don't or lack of acceptance, you know, for
mm-hmm.
the.
Talk to us about the delayed vocation, the young man or woman who experiences a career in the secular world first and then later discerns the call to priesthood or religious life. Is that a growing trend?
You know, interestingly enough, it used to be, I would say the average age of seminarians has gone down.
Really?
Yeah. I was ordained 8 years ago, and the majority of my classmates were older vocations, but now there's a lot of vocate guys who are coming right out of high school or just, you know, right out of college. But, you know, I think it's still the average age is up there, but I think there are guys out there and there are women out there who are still discerning, and I know that they're out there, and for example, our diocese accepts guys up to 50 years old, and
okay.
you know, many religious orders, most of them, I think, are up to 35 years old. But then there are others who are who go older as well, and it's just you have to talk to them about that. But I know there are older vocations out there, but this particular year, for example, there's very few who are that second career that we call them vocations.
And that's locally here.
Yeah, locally here in the Archdiocese. So we're trying to find ways to bolster that within the diocese here to try to reach those people who are out there by, you know, starting young adult groups and trying to get them to think about it.
And, well, of course, the Rediscover Initiative might help.
Exactly.
With that, foster more vocations to people who are maybe hearing some sort of voice
mm-hmm.
in their ear and encourage them to do that or to at least... to research and figure it out and take the next step, maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
What's the biggest challenge in getting more vocations, getting more people to answer that call?
Yeah, that's a good question. The biggest challenge, I think, is that you're just dealing with the human will.
It's personal.
It goes without saying some oftentimes, but I think that's the biggest challenge. The biggest hurdle is just, you know, God has His perfect will, and we pray, "Thy will be done." And it's just that constant, that constant trying to allow our wills to be molded and formed into His will. And so I think that's kind of the general picture. But that there are so many other, you know, little things that are hurdles. You know, fear, as I've mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Just an inability to listen is another. Listen in prayer, and I think, you know, there are many things that that contribute to it. But I always, you know, reflecting upon it, I think it's just it's each an individual person responding
mm-hmm.
To God in their own unique way and in God's unique call to them, and allowing them to, in a sense, give them that space to allow their wills to be united with God's will and desiring that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Father, for being
with
us.
So good to visit with you, Father.
Yeah, well, it's good to be with you as well, and keep praying for vocations.
We
will. Now, if you are interested in finding out more about the consecrated religious life, the priesthood, or the permanent diaconate, visit the website of the Office of Vocations of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis at 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000vocations.org to help you get started on your search. And we've put a link on our show page as well.
And if there is an interview topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear from you. There are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or go and click on the radio button at the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Reach us through our show page or contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover.
Best-selling Catholic author George Weigel has a new book out that Catholics everywhere are talking about. It is titled Evangelical Catholicism. And in the book, Weigel proposes that the church is on the threshold of a bold new era in its 2,000-year history.
George Weigel will be speaking at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration event, October 12, 2013. A little earlier this year, Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, got the great opportunity to speak with George Weigel and the head of local St. Paul's outreach, Gordy DeMurray. Here's an excerpt from that conversation.
Mr. Weigel, in your book, you talk about moving from recreational Catholicism to a more full-time Catholicism. You've written about that. Could you talk a little bit about what that means in today's context?
I think it means that the Catholicism of the future cannot simply be a lifestyle choice about how to spend an hour and 15 minutes on the weekend. It has to be a life-forming commitment to the faith that animates every other aspect of our lives, in our families, in our work, in our lives as citizens. There's too often in Catholicism today a notion that faith is over here and everything else is over there. But there's only one life that each one of us is living. And at the center of that life has to be, as Benedict XVI always insisted, friendship with Jesus Christ, which is a relationship that should animate and shape every other facet of our lives. So we're not Catholics on Sunday and something else Monday to Saturday. This is particularly urgent today in public life, where I found in 2012 there were people profoundly confused about the importance of their Catholic conviction in their lives as citizens. You cannot separate these two things. It's just not possible. It becomes a kind of bifurcated personality. So full-time Catholicism does not mean that everyone is working for the church in a formal sense all the time. It does mean that everyone is a witness to Christ in every aspect of their lives.
In your talk this morning, you spoke about the culture and how the culture previously was one that could be more supportive of the faith, whereas today it can often be hostile to the faith. What are some ways of proposing or reproposing the Catholic faith to people today who are living in this culture that can be hostile not only to faith in general, but to Catholicism in particular at times?
Well, we have a very challenging circumstance in that we live in a culture that is increasingly unreal, that is increasingly deracinated, that doesn't recognize the claims of either nature or reason, that imagines that everything is sheer willfulness and that we can change just about anything we want. That's a very difficult circumstance in which to proclaim the gospel. But I think if we look at the profound human unhappiness that comes out of self-absorption, a life lived willfully rather than a life lived as gift, we can find openings in the tears and fissures in the human condition that have been caused by this radical culture of me, myself, and I, and demonstrate to people a more humane and noble and satisfying way of life. I do think in these circumstances that the witness of lives lived well is the most powerful invitation to hear the message of the gospel. It's very hard to argue people into right reason in a culture that has abandoned the idea that there is anything properly describable as the truth. There's your truth and my truth, but there's nothing called the truth. That's not a circumstance in which argument is going to get you very far. It's rather witness, it's example, it's the Mother Teresa's, it's the crisis pregnancy centers, it's the work on campuses that invite young people beyond the hookup culture into some much more humane form of friendship and relationships. That's the example that opens up the possibility of then offering the message of the gospel.
And I think it means a willingness on the part of people to engage others as persons themselves, and to be willing to actually extend oneself in relationship with others and in the context of relationship or friendship, that becomes the foundation that you can actually speak to this ultimate longing in every person's heart, that God's, the way that God has made us for this relationship with Him. But oftentimes we approach people more from the perspective of trying to get them to join something or to do something, and really what they need is a friend. They need someone to love them, to pay attention to them. And then they need the witness also of a community of believers who are living this transformed life with one another that they can then be invited into.
About the idea of invitation. You know, when we're talking about the new evangelization, we hear that often, the need to invite. And certainly with this Rediscover initiative locally, there's been an emphasis about extending an invitation. What are some ways of doing that for folks today, you know, people in the pews, to maybe look beyond, you know, their parish boundaries and invite other people in? What are some effective ways to maybe do that today?
Well, I think it needs to be suggested to people. I have yet to hear the sermon on Sunday in which the concluding admonition or injunction or invitation is to everyone here to consider inviting someone who hasn't been here for a while to come with you next week. I'm still waiting to hear that. It's as simple as that. There are a number of interesting initiatives around the United States on these things. The many dioceses during Advent and Lent have these programs called "The Light Is On for You," which is one evening a week during Advent and Lent where their confessions heard for 5-6 hours. And, you know, the light is on. And that seems to be effective. It makes people think when you see that sign on the Washington Metro system. The light is on for you every Wednesday night for all of Lent at your nearest Catholic church. I mean, that's a form of invitation.
You know, in our campus work, this is what we train our student missionaries to do. So, for example, at the University of Minnesota last September, during the first 10 days of that semester, our missionary corps engaged 500 students, enough that these students gave their contact information and were willing to receive a follow-up call. And then from that, we call them and we invite them to our houses for dinner, or we invite them to play a game of touch football. And so I think inviting people back to church is one thing, but inviting them into our life, or even if you can invite them on a Sunday, connected to a Sunday, let's get together for Sunday brunch and mass to invite them into a relationship with you and see you as the embodiment of what's going on, when they come back to mass or confession.
The model of church envisioned by the new evangelization that you write about in your book, can you think of one particular success story or story that really exemplifies that transformation?
I can think of several. I mean, if we're talking about parishes, I would point people to St. Mary's Parish in Greenville, South Carolina, which in one sense is the inspiration for the book Evangelical Catholicism, because that parish embodies this approach to the faith in an extraordinary way that has led to a remarkable flourishing of adult conversions, receptions into full communion with the church, booming school, religious vocations, wonderful liturgy, campus ministries. The gold standard in the United States, it seems to me, is Texas A&M University. The Catholic campus ministry there is a booming enterprise, 5,000 people at Mass on the weekends, more religious vocations generated over the past 20 years from Texas A&M than from Notre Dame. Now, this is because in both of these instances, the gospel is preached without compromise. Mass. Word and sacrament are at the center of the proclamation and the experience, and the stress is on friendship with Jesus Christ in order to be equipped for mission in the world. So, I mean, there are things that people can learn how to do to make this work. This is a question of living the vision of the Church that's laid out in the dogmatic constitution on the Church of Vatican II. I mean, the blueprint is there. We don't have to invent this stuff. What we have to do is take it seriously. And understand that taking it seriously is a very demanding business.
Well, every year, if you're looking for individual stories, this story is repeated over and over and over again. A young person reached out to, invited into our community of faith, brought to this rediscovery, this reawakening of baptismal faith, inserted into a community environment where they're formed. And formation isn't just intellectual, that's a part of it, but it's what you were referring to earlier, this overcoming this gap between the gap that exists between faith and daily life, but that's experienced in the context of learning to live in love. How do I study, and what do I do in my social time, and how do I relate to media, and how do I think about my sexuality, and how do I discern my vocation? And then coming full circle in our work to then being sent. That evangelization, really, if you look at Paul VI's encyclical letter, which is still profound today, says that evangelization is only complete when the one being evangelized is him or herself sent out on missions.
Okay, so as we noted earlier, George Weigel will be at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, along with Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, Jeff Cavins, Father Rocky, and many other inspiring speakers. And so here are the details again. This special event takes place on Saturday, October 12th, 2013, at the St. Paul River Center. Doors open at 7 a.m. and programming starts at 8:30 with Mass.
And there will be special programming opportunities for children and youth, kindergarten through 10th grade, as well as Spanish language programming. Adult tickets, $15. Youth grades 7 to 10, $7. Kids in kindergarten through 6th grade are $5 each. You can register now at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, in today's Answering the Call, find out about local men on a mission to put Christ at the center of their lives and be leaders in sharing the faith in their families and society.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholic men about why men have a unique role in the new evangelization. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
At Immaculate Conception School in Columbia Heights, a promise made is a promise kept. I'm Jane Bona, principal of Immaculate Conception. We promise that your child will be challenged in academics while receiving individual attention. Average class size is 13. We promise your child will build a firm foundation in their faith life by participating in daily religion class. Engage in service opportunities in which they will make a difference in the world. And we promise your child will be included in activities outside the school day. The quality of our school and the promises we keep draw students from around the Twin Cities. Visit us and learn more about our pre-K through 8th grade school and join us for our parish festival, August 2nd through 4th. Enjoy food, live music, games, and auctions. Aim higher. Give your child a faith-filled education at Immaculate Conception School in Columbia Heights. Call me at 763-788-9065. Visit ICCSonline.org or go to Relevant Radio, keyword Immaculate.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Answering the Call, we'll find out how one local organization is bringing Christ to the workplace and reinforcing the importance of faith in the lives of local men.
St. Paul's Outreach launched Men on a Mission a decade ago when Bishop Paul Dudley gathered a small group of businessmen for breakfast to learn about St. Paul's Outreach. And since this humble beginning, Men on a Mission has evolved into a monthly one-hour breakfast with nearly 100 men participating in any given month.
And we're joined today by the organizer of Men on a Mission, Tisok Rosales. Thanks for talking with us, Tisok.
Thanks for the invitation, Paul. Good morning.
Tell us a little bit first about St. Paul's Outreach.
Sure. Well, St. Paul's Outreach was established here in Minnesota 27 years ago, and our mission is to actively invite college students to a life of Christian discipleship. And we're named after the Apostle Paul, of course. So with St. Paul as our example, we create vibrant, faith-filled environments that challenge students to deepen their relationships with Christ in the fullness of the Catholic Church.
Wonderful. And then so how did this Men on a Mission launch as a result of you guys getting together and speaking on St. Paul's Outreach?
Sure. Well, it really was launched for two reasons. The late Bishop Dudley, who was a St. Paul's Outreach board member, as well as Gordy DeMaray, SPO's founder and executive director, and a few other board members and men who were and are still involved with St. Paul's Outreach to this day, were thinking about ways to engage Catholic businessmen in the mission of St. Paul's Outreach. These men realized that we must add value to people's lives, and as there was and is such a great need for a regularly scheduled men's group of Catholic businessmen and other professionals for some faith, food, and fellowship. St. Paul's Outreach wanted to feed men both physically and spiritually in an evangelistic form.
It's always good to get both of those.
That's right. So we wanted to excite and awaken men about their faith through the inspiring stories from other men. So St. Paul's Outreach hosted the first Men on a Mission with about a half a dozen men attending, and the rest is history, and that history includes much fruit that has been harvested through the years. You know, several men have become Catholic, many lives have been changed, every man has been inspired. You know, men bring others into the fold. It's just been amazing collaboration and teamwork of so many over the years that has by itself been a work of the Holy Spirit.
Talk a little bit about the unique role of men in the new evangelization.
Sure. Well, you know, we as men are called upon to live out this mission of St. Paul's Outreach. However, specifically in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, our organizations, in all parts of our lives. So those that attend SPO's Men on a Mission as leaders, as examples, as those who have some sort of influence on people around us, we have this particular call in the new evangelization.
And so what does a typical Men on a Mission night include? What would an attendee experience?
Well,
there?
It's a breakfast, and typically,
oh, that's right.
Yep, typically a Catholic businessman or professional will be invited by a current Men on a Mission attendee,
okay.
or they hear about it on Relevant Radio or read about it on SPO's website, or they're already on the invite list, and they'll receive an email announcing that month's speaker, and they RSVP with me so we know how many breakfasts to order.
Okay.
The morning of, they come in just prior to 7 a.m. so we can start on time, and an MC will welcome them. We start, of course, with opening prayer, bless the food, and then we eat in fellowship for a while. Sometimes we'll have a current or recent St. Paul's Outreach missionary give a testimony, as to how God is working in their lives through St. Paul's Outreach, or sometimes this person is not an SPO alum, but someone in the group who has expressed a desire to share their testimony. And then our main speaker is introduced and shares with us a talk that affirms us in our vocations as husbands, fathers, grandfathers, you know, leaders in our businesses and organizations. And then we end with some announcements and a closing prayer, and we're on our way by 8 a.m. sharp.
That's
we start
great.
On time and end on time, guaranteed.
So it's before work. You get to have breakfast and discuss and learn and grow. Sounds like a good morning to me.
Do you have some particular case histories, some stories of men whose lives have been changed by becoming part of Men on a Mission?
Sure. Well, there's two stories that come to mind. You know, one is kind of a practical anecdote, and the other is an inspiring way. There was a communications professional from Chicago who was moving to Minnesota because his wife was transferring work locations. And that man received advice before he left Chicago to check out SPO's Men on a Mission when he came to Minnesota, because there's a good amount of networking that goes on there. So he contacted me before he moved. He got on the list, and he came to Men on a Mission. He met several people, and shortly after moving to Minnesota, he became the media relations manager for an organization here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, perfect. Okay. That worked out.
And then another way that men are impacted is each month. You know, Paul and Corey, several men will come up to me after the speaker thanking me, saying that they needed to hear that particular talk and how much it helped them in their spiritual journey at that time.
Awesome.
You know, men leave inspired and uplifted from this breakfast.
Well, speaking of speakers, who have been some of your speakers that have inspired these men?
Well, we've been blessed to hear from many, many great speakers over the years, including a few bishops, many priests and deacons. And at the risk of leaving some names out, you know, a few of the more public names, are Relevant Radio's own Father Rocky, Dale Alquist, Jeff Cavins, George Weigel, and Super Bowl champ Matt Burke even gave a testimony.
Okay, awesome. And then who are coming up? Can you name some people?
Sure. Well, Matt Burke will be the featured speaker at an upcoming Men on a Mission, and then the president of Benedictine College, Stephen Minnis, asked if he could speak. as did the president of the University of Mary, Monsignor Jim Shea.
So, that's cool. You've got people coming to you asking to speak. That's a good sign.
Tell us how this all coordinates together, how Men on a Mission supports St. Paul's outreach.
Well, Men on a Mission helps fulfill the overall mission of St. Paul's outreach in a few ways. One, men who attend can spread the word about what St. Paul's outreach is doing to other centers of influence, which is good. Two, some of the men who attend have chosen to partner in the mission of St. Paul's outreach by financially supporting our work, you know, either directly as sponsors of our annual benefit banquet each Mardi Gras Tuesday, which we've been doing for 20 years,
right,
or sponsoring our golf classic, which we've been doing for 15 years, our next one coming up Monday, August 19th at the Wilds in Prior Lake. And then third, also by the children and grandchildren of the men who attend. You know, some of those children and grandchildren have chosen to serve as missionaries for St. Paul's outreach or get involved in our programs, so their lives have been impacted, and they're in turn able to impact the lives of so many more.
Do you meet at the same place every month?
We do. We do. We have a 10-year relationship with our current location, and we want some. It's in Bloomington.
That's worth preserving.
Yes, we want someplace central as possible on the main strip, so it's easy to get to and from, and it's working out pretty good.
Well, tell us how we can find out some more about Men on a Mission and get an invite and when the next one is coming up.
Sure. The next one, we always meet on the second Friday of every month, and you can find out information on SPO's, St. Paul's Outreach website at spoweb.org. Look for Men on a Mission, and all the information is there, how to contact me and get on the list, and we look forward to people participating.
Awesome.
What costs are involved?
You know, there's no charge for minimum.
Oh, it's free, even better.
Yes. However, we do ask for a free will offering to help offset our food.
That's reasonable.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
Well, thank you, T-Soak. We appreciate you talking with us this morning.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you so much.
And the next Men on a Mission, like he said, is Friday, August 9th with Speaker Matt Burke. And we've put a link to the St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission page on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And a reminder, if there's a new evangelization-related topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, let us know. Click on Show Ideas on the lower right side of our show page or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholic men about men's unique role in the new evangelization.
Plus, we'll take a look at Catholic events happening in the coming weeks around the area. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Firestone makes tires, but make no mistake, we are a car company. From the first Indy race to this morning's grocery run, we've spent more than 100 years helping them run better, faster, stronger, longer. Because when you slap on a fresh set of Firestone tires, you don't just change your tires, you change your car. So whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Westside Tire Incorporated has Firestone tires to fit your car or truck. Westside Tire, they'll take care of you.
You ever seen a snail race against Indy cars? Didn't think so. But you can. Right now, through July 19th, when you buy a set of four select Firestone tires, you get a $50 Firestone prepaid MasterCard by mail and four admissions to see the new DreamWorks animation movie, Turbo, opening in theaters July 19th.
Have Westside Tire get you ready for summer driving on Firestone tires. Westside Tire, 763-420-2100.
Admissions value up to $58. Promotion card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Certain offer restrictions and limitations apply. See your authorized Firestone retailer for details.
It's a wayward child comes home.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with fellow Catholics and we ask them a question, and it's a good one this time.
Right. We spoke with men attending the St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission event last Friday and asked them, do men play a particular role in the new evangelization? And here's how they responded.
This is Bob from Holy Trinity Parish in South St. Paul. Obviously, Pope John Paul II, you know, made this pretty important or prominent that we're all called to a life of evangelization, especially in the world we live in today. And so, you know, encouraging and re-engaging others that maybe, you know, are in the faith or are falling away, I think is a call that all of us have, whether it be big or small. So I guess in short order, yes, I think it's very important.
Hi, I'm Mitch from Holy Family in St. Louis Park. I feel like the culture is yearning for people to be on the forefront of, you know, ethics and morals, and a lot of times men take a backseat to that, and we need men to engage and be on the front lines and engaging the culture and saying, no, I actually believe in my faith and I actually do have a voice, as opposed to just taking a back seat in our faith life.
I'm Aaron from St. Mark's in St. Paul. I think all Catholics are called to engage others in the faith and in a particular way with whatever strengths that they have. And so me being a man of faith that's relatively outgoing, I think that I'm called to more actively engage people because that's my strength.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, Minnesota. I think it's pretty apparent that the church is focusing now on this call for a new evangelization. And I think that that is applicable to all Catholics across our country and across the world. And I think that in order to really transform our culture, it's going to start with our internal transformation, our internal conversion. And the more that we can, the more that we're praying, the more that we're engaging in the sacraments, the more that we can be authentic witnesses for Christ, because that's what our world needs right now, is people who show others that being a man of God is our number one pursuit, and it is the only way that will bring us fulfillment in this life.
I'm Brant from St. Lawrence in Minneapolis. Yeah, I think that as Catholics, we're all called to mission, and we're all called to be missionaries. And that doesn't mean we all need to go to Africa, we all need to leave our homes to become missionaries, but we need doctors, and we need lawyers in the church, and we need nurses, and teachers, and mechanics, and people who pick up garbage who can be saints in their day-to-day life and in their daily jobs. And so we're all called to be saints, and we all need each other to support each other in getting to heaven.
Boy, amen to that.
I like that.
I once heard Father Larry Richards say that his mother said, I don't want to be a saint. I just want to get to heaven. And he said, you can't have one without the other.
And it's so true. We can all do it in our own little way.
Absolutely.
So anyway, if you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour, please send it our way.
We have lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Or click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page. Or you can contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
Well, here is a quick look at some great Catholic events taking place locally. The Catholic men are invited to join Bishop Lee Piché for the next Catholic Man Night. I just love that name.
Wait, we're just doing the men stuff it's throughout the show.
I know
today.
There's a lot of stuff for men. It takes place on Friday, July 26th. That's St. Anne in Hamel.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The night starts at 6:30 and ends by 9 p.m. and dinner is provided. A free will offering is gladly accepted to help defray hospitality costs. And Bishop Piché will be speaking about the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ, and that is on July 26th. And if you're not familiar with Catholic Man Night,
no power tools involved.
We spoke with two of them in a couple interviews or dates, weekends. What am I saying? A little while back. They were great. We loved them. It was a great organization. So check out what they are about. It helps 21st century men meet Jesus through solid Catholic teaching, presented in a way that makes sense to men. And they hold monthly meetings at West Metro area parishes. And the Catholic Man Night materials are available online at CatholicManNight.com and through parish-based Catholic Man Nights. Again, the next event takes place Friday, July 26th at St. Anne in Hamel. And with a talk by Bishop Lee Piché, and it starts at 6:30.
Well, the Cathedral Young Adults, which is a huge, vibrant young people's group, invites all young adults up to age 39, single or married, to Theology on Tap. Summer series is almost in session. The next talk is Wednesday, July 24th. Topic is the Catholic Church and Interreligious Dialogue. This will be given by Dr. Ted Ulrich. Come and join other area young adults for an evening of faith, fellowship, lively discussion from a Catholic faith perspective.
That sounds right up my alley.
It's a hot button topic, yes. All Theology on Tap events happen at the Glockenspiel Restaurant, 605 West 7th Street in St. Paul. It all begins at 7 p.m. All talks are free of charge. Food and drinks are not included, so bring a little bit of cash along for that, or your debit or credit card. And for more information about this talk or others in the Theology on Tap six-pack summer series going on right now, you can check out cathedralyoungadults.org. That's cathedralyoungadults.org. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar. Of course, you can also find us through relevantradio.com. And the keyword is Rediscover.
And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour and answering the call, we'll talk with a local person attending World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. How cool is that going to be?
That's a long trip.
Well, it'll be fun to get some perspective from him as how things are going on down there. And we'll find out why so many people make this special pilgrimage and what it means for the church.
And plenary indulgences for the Universal Year of Faith explained. We'll talk with Father John Paul Erickson, get some answers to the most common questions.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholic men about why it is important for men to come together in fellowship to grow in the faith.
And we have lots of opportunities that we've already told you about, so check them out. Come back for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.